I hereby introduce to you Mr. Michael Veazey.
Hey, 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 welcome to Amazing FBA, the place to be for UK-based Amazon entrepreneurs. I'm your host, Michael Veazey. Welcome to the show. Hello, I'm Michael Veazey from Amazing FBA. If you want to be super awesome and stoked, you better go elsewhere. This one's for the Brits. Isolation is a dream killer. We all know that. The cure is connection. If you're new to Amazon, working to get a product live, but you've not yet got one launched, I've created a brand new solution especially for you. It's the Zero to Hero London Mastermind. It's designed to do one thing, get you launched on Amazon. So if you're stuck in research, supply negotiation with Chinese or importing, if you're lost in listing creation or launch strategy, we can sort you out. How does it work? Simple. We have a physical meeting once a month in North London, maximum 15 people in the room, 30 minutes each to solve your biggest business problem. We're action, not talk, guys. Video accountability call once a month, a newsletter once a month, and an exclusive Facebook group. It's simple, it's powerful, and it's hands-on. It works. For more details or to apply, go to amazingfba.com/London Mastermind. AmazingFBA, and that's F for Freddie, B as in Bravo, A as in Amazon.com/London Mastermind. There's a special deal on now, but only for the first 5 members to join. So to find out more, go to amazingfba.com/London Mastermind. Thanks for listening. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the show. Today, I have Chris Green from Merch Dojo and basically Mr. Amazon, practically speaking, who is here to talk about merch by Amazon. So in the first episode, we talked a hell of a lot about why it's just such an amazing opportunity and why things have changed now, i.e. Amazon is really streamlining the applications process compared to what it was, a few months or a year ago. So if you want to check that out, guys, amazingfba.com/Chris Green, C-H-R-I-S. G-R-E-E-N for November. So Chris, welcome back. Today you're going to talk to us about some of the more nitty-gritty details for people like me who want to know all the chapter and verse.
Yeah, of course. I mean, there is the overview and explaining what the platform is, but then understanding all the nitty-gritty, the details, getting in the trenches, that's where you're gonna make the money. And people have a lot of these questions, and I'll be the first to tell you, there's landmines with Merch by Amazon. And if you don't know where they are, you don't want to step on them and then be like, oh, sorry, Amazon, is it cool? Like, Amazon's not the place for, forgiveness, right? Like, if you do something wrong, all the private label sellers, FBA sellers, you don't want to mess up first and over and over and over again. Amazon will eventually, they'll keep track. They can ban your account. They can suspend you, all these things. Bad news. Right. And then you have to appeal and all these things. What's better? Like, just don't cause any problems at the front. And we talked a little bit about this on the last one. It's just a different model, right? You're talking about selling physical products. There's liability insurance, like issues and stuff like that. Well, we're selling intellectual property. We're selling copyrighted designs, and we don't want to step on people's trademarks. And it's just a different model. It's not that people can't learn it. They learned FBA when you can learn merch as well, but learn it before you go in. Don't go in and be like, I saw someone upload, Darth Vader shirt, so I'm going to do it too. No, absolutely not. You will get banned so fast, and no one will feel bad either. So we can talk about things like trademark, copyright, parody is a good one, all these things, so that people, get off on the right start. And, once they do that and they get their first designs uploaded, then kind of how to help promote and how to get some sales and how to kind of grow this thing.
Great. Well, you've touched on a million things there. So the first thing I want to say is that just as you said, Amazon is not the place to learn your training wheels and mess up. And there isn't really another print-on-demand service out there that's like this. So broadly speaking, you want to go in educated. So which is another reason, guys, to check out the free training videos that Chris is going to give us links for. They'll be under amazingfba.com/Chris Green. I think it's really important point. The second point you've made, you've touched on intellectual property already and the fact that you said we're selling our intellectual property to Amazon. So what? Just tell me briefly what the nature of the deal is. Do we still own the intellectual property? Are we giving it away to them? How does that work? Not that it's probably that crucial, but I suppose we should know.
Well, no. I mean, anybody who has their own intellectual property, you want to know what they're doing with it. So you're basically licensing it to Amazon so they can list it for sale and they can sell it. It's not exclusive. So it's not like, some of the Kindle programs are like, if you upload us to Kindle, you can't upload it anywhere else. There's no price parity currently, right? Like I say currently, because maybe they'll change it, but you know, you could upload that same design to another print on demand and offer it for a lower price. I don't expect Amazon to ever enforce anything like that, because for the most part, Amazon has the best price and cost structure. So you're going to be able to sell for less. I don't know why you would sell for less on another site. You'd make no money, but beyond possible. So you want to understand how that works. So by uploading to Amazon, you are also telling Amazon that I have the rights to this. This is my image, or I have the rights to it. And Amazon's not going to be like, Amazon is going to be like, okay, we trust you, right? And you better be right. Because if you're wrong, we're not going to be the ones to come in and like, oh, by the way, they're not researching your trademarks for you. They're not researching your keywords or your designs. They're saying if you upload it, you did your homework and you are saying that this is right, and kind of absolving them of responsibility too, right? So you want to make sure that your designs are clean. You want to understand what copyright and trademark are. You want to understand what constitutes parody. You do want to treat Amazon differently than other merch or other print on demand platforms. We touched on like Teespring, and there's tons of other ones. Merch by Amazon is unique. So things you might do on another print on demand platform, you might not do on Merch by Amazon. Amazon's more family friendly. You know, they used to let you use bad words and drugs and, you know, kind of adult themes on t-shirts. Then they got rid of that because Amazon is the seller of record compared to FBA, where you're the seller of record. Amazon's saying, look, I'm not selling that shirt that says F you, someone else is, right? So there's just nuances that are important. And you can read all these things in the terms of service. It's not terribly long. It's not even terribly complicated. Actually, I should give you a link to our terms of service wrap. We had somebody wrap the terms of service to make sure people listened and understood what they were saying. And they'll change too, right? So the terms of service can change and you should check on that. There's a little dashboard thing that you should read every single day for an update, because if there's a major update, that's where it will be. So we should talk about copyright and trademark, what they mean, what they don't mean. And ooh, I love telling people what parody means, because man, it seems like nobody knows what parody means.
Definitely. Well, look, you just said to yourself, I mean, the next question I was going to ask is, okay, tell us about copyright and trademark. You know, how do you define them, and how do they work in the Merch by Amazon space? I'm not assuming you're a lawyer. We have had lawyers on. I'm sure we'll get them on again at some point, maybe with a spin of Merch by Amazon, actually. But from the practical point of view,
I do recommend people, you know, find a local lawyer. So we do talk about this being an absolute zero cost business, and it is. And if you are only uploading your own artwork, you know, you should have nothing to worry about. But once you get into, hey, can I use this? Or how about this? Or where's the line on this? Then I recommend finding a local lawyer. Go in and pay them for a half hour or an hour of their time. Go in with your questions ready and spend the money, because it's better to spend $200 or $300 for an hour with a lawyer than to lose your Merch by Amazon account, right? And this isn't a one-time thing. You're also going to learn, okay, now I understand trademarks, so I can apply that knowledge to my entire Amazon business, right? So there is value. So don't get all cheap on me and don't hire a lawyer, right? So I'm not a lawyer. And even if you had a lawyer on here, they can't give legal advice because no one here is a client, all right? So they can kind of give you overview stuff that's on the internet. But if you want actual legal advice, you have to actually sign an agreement with a lawyer, okay? So keep all that in mind for whatever you're doing with Amazon. But what a lawyer will tell you is copyright is about design. Trademark is about source, okay? So this is a design. This could also, this could be copyright. This could also be a trademark because it represents something, right? Like there is an M in the little like dojo sign here. Like people see this sign and they understand that it's Merch Dojo. The design, the copyright part is the way that it's made, right? If you put Merch Dojo in regular words, you know, we're probably not big enough right now, where if you've made a shirt that just said Merch Dojo in plain white text, I don't think anybody would confuse that with anything other than no one else calls themselves the Merch Dojo. But the words merch and dojo in themselves aren't anything you can copyright or trademark. Merch has been around a lot longer than Amazon, right? Like bands sold merch out of the back of their cars in the 60s and 70s, right? So those aren't trademarked words. Even yours, because you have British Amazon sellers, probably okay. You know, FBA, they were pursuing trademark on that. And trademarks have to be protected. So, I mean, it's not that even Amazon wants to go after me for this. But if they feel they have to, otherwise it might cause, you know, some confusion, then they wouldn't have a choice and they would have to. So copyright's about design, right? So if someone did one design and you're copying that towards like, that's the same freaking thing, that's what people say, you're violating copyright. Copyright technically exists. As soon as you make something, you can file to protect the copyright. I can tell you this about copyright. It comes from a lawyer. And again, this is a U.S. lawyer, so if there's some international differences, you guys should double check those things. But if you create a design and then someone rips it off, you don't automatically get to sue them for $100,000. It's just not how it works. You could actually sue them and spend a lot of money doing this and saying, you need to take your shirt down. And you sold 5 copies of that shirt. Okay, I want the $20. I think it's kind of a waste of time. You don't get to, you can sue for damages, like you owe me $50,000 now, if you filed copyright and paid all this money and all these things, because then you could say this other person should have known better. You know, they didn't look it up. They didn't realize, you know, so they should have known and they still didn't. They still did it. So if you don't do that filing, which most people don't do because they don't sell enough of a single design to warrant the process and the cost, then you don't get to sue somebody for stealing your shirt, selling 5 copies, and say they owe you $50,000. It's just not how it works. So this is a game, which I get. I get the emotional feeling when you see someone rip off your work. Someone, I wrote online arbitrage, 4 years ago now. It was a 500-page book. Someone, it was in there in Malaysia or Singapore, ripped it off Kindle, copied it into a PDF, and was selling it on eBay. And I still remember that feeling when I saw it, where I was like, this person straight up stole the entire thing. And now they're selling it for less. I mean, it shook me for a good part of the day that this is just messed up, right? So I get that. So if you see that, I mean, I empathize that you're going to feel bad if you see someone copy your design. Just understand the world we live in and the game we're playing, and then just make good decisions about what you're going to do about that. Because you can file notices with Amazon and they'll have takedowns. You know, Amazon will punish other people if they copy too much. But also understand that if you put up a very simple design, that's probably something not just because you say you had the idea first, it might not be something that can be copyrighted anyway. And now that's subjective, right? I might say, look, you can't copyright that. And you say, yes, I can. Well, you can go to a lawyer and prove me wrong, and I'm happy to be wrong. That doesn't matter. I'm just trying to give people advice. You got to kind of pick your battles when it comes to that.
I'm into that. Best advice. Yeah. No, I think it is very, very important advice, because exactly what you said is the emotional attachment to things that screws people up. Like a friend of mine, for example, who's not an Amazon seller, but he creates designs. He's an artist. He makes sort of model cars, but not like little dinky ones. They're like £80,000 or $100,000, you know, wonderful copies of Ferraris and stuff. They're worth as much as a Ferrari. And some major firm ripped him off and copied his design, and he sued them. And of course, he lost. He was up against a very, very big firm, which I'm not going to name on air, because I don't have the money to go up against their lawyers. The point is, he's such a creative guy, and he knows now. We were just chatting about this the other day. I said, yeah, you know what the right thing for a designer to do is do more design. They're not lawyers. They shouldn't pick legal fights. They should go and design stuff, which isn't to say that justice shouldn't be served, but like sometimes justice is too expensive for the little guys, and frankly, it's not worth it. And the other thing to say is that even if you're fighting a small person, you could win. You just got to look at where your mental focus goes when you're in that kind of battle. You're getting defensive rather than proactive. And I think that generally speaking, you know, picking fights that are hard to win is a big distraction from creating new business, right? But I mean, it's a personal thing. In the end of the day, I'm not saying don't use lawyers. I'm saying, like you said, pick your fights. I couldn't agree more. And there's too many tales of people who haven't picked their fights, wasting so much mental energy apart from anything else.
There is. And I try to put some reality. And I say, I've been in this world for long enough that I've seen so many things. And one of the things I've seen is people copy and they think that's all it is. I can just copy and put it up and, you know, they were making sales, I'm going to make sales. And I just haven't seen that. If you have a good selling shirt and you're priced competitively, okay, so if you price your merch shirts at $30 and someone comes along and says, hey, that's a good idea, I'm going to make my own and price it for $20 and sell a bunch more. Well, if that's private label too, your $30 spatula, yeah, someone might want to buy it for $12, right? Like maybe you're overcharging a little bit. You know, insider secret from Amazon, customers look at two things, the picture and the price, which is perfect for Amazon, for merch. They look at the image and the price. Do they like the image? Is it a fair price? Buy or no buy? Very rare do they scroll down and like, I need to learn more about what this shirt is. No, it's a shirt with a picture on it, right? Like, there's nothing else to say. So if you've got that going for you and you're the first to market and you're getting some sales and someone comes on and copies it straight up, keep an eye on the sales rank. Because if the sales rank never changes and it never sells, then really, who cares, right? I see people saying, there's this other, you know, website, they're selling my design. But are they really, right? You're actually concerned about, you know, nonameshirts.ie/whatever getting sales, instead of Amazon.com, like if that site can get sales on a random nothing site, like I want to know how they're doing, right? Like I want to copy them. Be like, tell me how you're driving traffic to your crappy domain, crappy website, crappy Shopify store, and actually getting sales. I'd love to know, because then I could do it as well. And I've seen this, with Chrome extensions. I've made several of those, a lot for Merch by Amazon, because it's really easy to do research for Merch by Amazon with an extension. And I've got one that has like over 7,000 downloads, right? So all my downloads, thanks guys. And people can straight up copy it, right? You can just go see source code for Chrome extensions and you can upload it. And there's not a lot I can do about it. And people have done that. And guess how many users they have? 3, 7, 4, right? Like it's not as easy. Like you have to market it. Like you have to be first to market. You have to talk about it. You have to support it. You have to make videos. You can't just copy, put it up and be like, oh, I made a mousetrap too. So everybody's going to buy my mousetrap. No, it doesn't work that way. Right.
Absolutely.
So I'm trying to say that as an example. Like everybody relax. I've seen it. Like it's nothing to freak out about.
Yeah, it makes total sense. Sorry to interrupt, but I was just going to ask you what the name of that plugin is, if it's specifically for Merch by Amazon, because obviously that's fantastically relevant for us.
Yeah, it's called Merch Research. I made several versions of this as I've kind of added to it. So like the basic one, it's free. You can search for Merch Research in the Chrome web store. And you'll see a bunch of them. And it's just little things that it does. It downloads images for you. It pulls up keywords. And it kind of like hot links you to things. So if you like right click on a word, it'll pull up all the merch listings that have that word in it. So you can see how many, funny penguin shirts there are. It just makes things quick and easy. So, it's nice and free. And I looked at it the other day. I was like, what, 7,000 people? Wow. It's crazy. Because I didn't mean to like get a bunch of people using it. But part of it was the biggest one was I was first to market. Right. Absolutely. So if you're first to market with your design, you've got first mover advantage and, just kind of leave everybody else in the dust. And if you're the creative one, if you're the one like trend setting, trailblazing out in front, you're going to stay there. Right. Everyone else is trying to catch you. Like, they're copying you, but you're innovating. So it's much better to be the innovator than the copier. The copier will never win. The copier will always be number two. Right. Because they never want to be number one, because then they have nothing to do and they can't copy. Right. So you're always going to beat the copier.
It's very interesting. And what you're saying is sort of implies something that there are some things from the private label or physical products world that we can learn from. I mean, part of sure. Product label to be private label is basically about copying what's on there, not in terms of slavishly copying the exact design, because that's patent or intellectual property infringement. But that brings us on to the idea of like keywords and copying ideas. So obviously, we don't just come up with ideas just out of the top of our head, or do we? Or do we do keyword research and do... find themes? How do we come up with what the hell do we actually try and sell in the first place?
Well, you can do both, right? People are creative and they say, and one of the silly things I like to do is watch like big sports games. Like I'm not like a big sports guy, but I like the Super Bowl and the finals and like the World Series. Like when it finally matters, now I'll watch. And the fans are very creative. So they'll make these signs and be like, oh, that's a good one, right? Like, oh, it kind of ties in the city and something that makes sense. And you can't use players' names and team names and all those things. But you might see somebody like that would make a great t-shirt. We were just down in Jamaica and one of the bartenders I become friends with, there was someone else there. And whatever came up was like rum and sun, right? We're talking about having some rum and like, oh, the rum and the sun, or like sun's out, guns out. And the rum was in there somewhere, like rum and sun. That would make a great, t-shirt. And it's like, it just happens. And the more you kind of think about merch, I feel these ideas kind of fall into your lap where you're like, that would make a great t-shirt. That would make a great t-shirt. And because it's free, there's no inventory. You can test the waters without spending a lot of money or without spending any money and put these things up. And you're like, well, what keywords should I put in for rum and sun? Well, you can put in the same search terms on Amazon and look for other similar products, right? So find a suns out, guns out shirt and be like, well, what keywords are they using here? I'm like, oh, that makes sense. Like bodybuilding and sunbathing and start putting those keywords into your description if it makes sense. Now, the no keyword stuffing, no, putting in stuff that doesn't make sense. Back in the eBay days, don't put DeWalt in your Bosch drill listing, right? But I'm going to get more people to look at it. Yeah, you're going to get people who aren't buying it because they're looking for a DeWalt. Now you're showing them a Bosch. You're not doing any, you're not helping yourself here. But else, a big one, right? And just to finish this question, is to look at what's already selling. Right. And dude, I take heat for saying this, believe it or not. I am baffled that I take heat for this. People are like, oh no, you shouldn't copy. Like I didn't say copy. I said, look what's selling. If I'm going to open up a retail store and I'm trying to figure out what I should put in it, what should I do? Maybe go to Walmart and see what they sell and be like, oh, people want like cereal and milk and fresh vegetables instead of like, hey, you think people want milk? I don't know. We have absolutely no market research on what people want, and we should just put in here the stuff that we think. No, like it's right there, right? So if people are, and the four that I like to use, because they're pretty obvious, especially if anybody's on Facebook and they scroll through, I guarantee somebody in your friends list is posting about coffee or tea where you are, right? Have some tea and chocolate and yoga and wine. Like those are things that people post about, right? Like, I got to have my wine, you know, yoga pants. And like, for whatever reason, people are into like yoga and Pilates and all these things. So you can see that and then be like, I'm going to make shirts for those people, instead of like, I don't know if anybody's into this, but I'm going to make a shirt anyway. Maybe nobody is. Like, see what people are already into. You can go on any site that sells t-shirts, and they're going to show you their best sellers and say, oh, there's a theme here. Oh, St. Patrick's Day is totally like 3 weeks away. Of course, there's going to be a lot of green leprechaun beer drinking shirts being sold. And be like, and that's your research, right? You don't have to like be some calendar genius and be like, okay, I'm mapping it out. And you know, you can, but you can also be reminded because everyone else is doing it. Like, it to me, it's that simple. And it's, to me, it's not copying. I think you're crazy not to look at what's popular and be like, yeah, I'm going to throw my hat in the ring, and I'm going to look at those crappy designs, and I'm going to make mine better, or I'm going to market my own. And I'm, instead of pushing my affiliate link to someone else's, I'm going to push my affiliate link to mine and double dip. That's how I would come up with ideas and figure out what to sell.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I think what you're saying is keep it very simple. I suppose I'm looking for complications because the FBA private label products type market is so saturated these days. I mean, I wouldn't say it's completely full and there are no opportunities. I think there are many, but you have to deep dive and do sophisticated keyword research these days, I think, anyway, to really find opportunities. And what you're saying is, I guess, two things. If I just reflect back, just check they're accurate. Number one, stop worrying. You don't have to pay any money anyway, apart from a design, which you can probably do yourself. So it's free or almost free. And, you know, maybe you've got to pay your phone bill for the month or something.
You can pay that anyway.
Yeah, which you got to do anyway. Yeah. So A, you don't need to worry about research. Just try it out. If in doubt, try it out. And then the second thing is, as long as it stays within the rules, and the IP you've just mentioned is very, very important. So it's more almost about knowing the rules and not getting your account suspended than worrying about individual product lines. Is that right? Is that a fair response?
Yeah, I think that's fair. You know, you don't want to violate anything. You don't want to jeopardize your account, you know, for copyright or trademark or anything else. But a friend of mine tries to describe it this way. And you can imagine this from the private label world, to be like, hey, I want to try out a spatula set. Well, I mean, it's going to cost you a lot of money. And do would, if you were selling a spatula set that was the number one seller in the category, and someone came in and copied you and uploaded a product listing that was crappy and had no keywords, they didn't know what they were doing, would you even lose a second of sleep thinking a customer is going to buy this one, or Amazon's going to show this in search instead of yours? Like, you would. It's like, it's crazy talk when you think about it that way. That's what Merch by Amazon is, if you think of people copying you late. What was the other point I was going to make? You were asking about...
Well, I was going to just say, I mean, this might sort of trigger your brain off, but I was just going to reflect back that basically, apart from just if in doubt, try it out, as long as it stays within the terms and conditions and stuff.
Yeah.
This is basically, you're saying just copy trends and don't even do that much research. Just look at what's selling and look, do a version selling of your own. Is that fair? Is that all as simple as that?
I mean, you kind of want to like spend your time. Okay, should I follow trending t-shirts right now? Should I make some evergreen shirts that are going to sell all year long? Should I make some seasonal shirts because of something that's coming up?
Yeah, those are very good questions. Yeah,
that's how you should spend your time. But because it basically is free, I say you can make, you know, very simple designs on your phone. There are design service apps out there right now, and we listed some of them in the Merch Dojo course that we have. But a friend of mine describes it as this, and I think it makes a lot of sense. You know, like, you want to throw stuff against the wall and see what sticks, right? But if you're going to throw like pasta or spaghetti against the wall and see what sticks, you got to cook it a little first, right? Like, don't throw dry pasta against the wall and see if none of it's going to stick, I promise. But if you at least soak it up a little bit, then some of it's going to stick, and maybe only a little bit of it sticks. But if it's free to throw the pasta, you can just keep throwing it, and you're going to find stuff keep sticking. And you're going to grow it, and you're going to like have some where like not a lot sticks. Then you're like going to get better at it. But you got to cook it a little bit. The dry stuff doesn't stick. So if you're just throwing up random stuff and wondering, and I got people messaging me, I got 500 shirts uploaded and nothing sells. You know, what's going on? I'm like, just because you have stuff uploaded doesn't mean it's going to sell. Maybe you uploaded garbage. Maybe you threw dry pasta against the wall. Right.
Like, okay.
The number of listings is related to the sales.
I like the extended metaphor there. So, tell me a little bit more about that, because obviously you've just put your finger on. But maybe if we're looking for like reasons that things that can actually not work in this sounds too good to be good, true business model. I'm not saying it isn't an amazing opportunity, because it is obvious that the economics, if nothing else, mean that you should be giving this a serious crack. But let's say that there people have that problem. What would you say to that guy? If you were digging into his account and he said, I've got 500 designs up, they're not selling. What are the characteristics of things that tend to sell, and what are the characteristics of things that have a chance of you know, doing really badly?
Well, we talked a little earlier about a little insider secret from Amazon: image and price, right? So you have to have an image that's going to convert. You know, I've seen people complain about their ads, right? Like, I'm running ads, I'm getting clicks, nothing, you know, I'm not getting anybody buying it. You know, there's two things that have to work for an ad to convert. You need to send the right traffic, and that can be hard. You're like, hey, I targeted dog people and nobody's buying my Chihuahua shirt. Well, there's a lot of different kinds of dogs. You send German Shepherd people to your Chihuahua shirt, nobody's going to buy it. Then you, okay, I fixed it. I got Chihuahua people going to my Chihuahua shirt. All right, let me see your shirt. You're like, oh my, no, that is awful. It's like, you know, there are some elements to design, like contrast and complementary colors and spacing. There are things that make a good design. There are things that make a bad design. A good designer can actually make a really good bad design that's so bad it's good, right? Like, it's like, oh my goodness, a designer made that. That's how bad it is. But I see people making really bad designs and they think they're good. And that's the problem with designs, is sometimes it's subjective. So I think it's important, you know, if you're not having much success, to be able to find someone who can give you honest feedback and be like, yeah, you know, no, that's not a great shirt. Like, there's no contrast. They put a black text design on a navy shirt, and where you can't read it at all, and you're wondering why no one buys it. It's like, 'cause you can't read it. You know, you have to have some contrast. There are tons of free videos on YouTube. I mean, there's so much, you know, like, content on the internet about design from real designers who just put up, you know, free information for you. So if you're having trouble with that, again, find someone to give you honest feedback. I'll give you honest feedback. Just be okay if I tell you your designs suck, okay? And you've also got to get your designs found, right? So if you're not driving traffic, then you're going to be relying on organic search, which I want to put it here right at the beginning. Amazon does not owe us organic traffic, okay? They don't owe us anything. So if you get some organic sales, you're like, sweet, this is like free money. And then you don't get mad at Amazon, right? Be thankful for what they did give you, not for what they're not giving you now. But if you want that organic search, you know, you've got to have the right keywords. You got to have good looking titles. Amazon will, and this is advice for the sellers as well. If you don't optimize your listings, meaning having a good looking title, a proper brand, unstuffed keyword, and they can tell if you put the word t-shirt in there 47 times. Yes, I've seen it. I know you guys do that 47 times. T-shirt, monkey t-shirt, gorilla t-shirt. Just like, stop with the shirt. All right. Like, you don't need it. And they'll downrank you. They will suppress you in search. Why do they do that? Because they can't tell you what to do, all right? But they can put behavior on your listings to encourage you to do what they want. And I know that's kind of a weird way to say it, but Amazon's not going to... Amazon would love to tell you what to send in. They would love to tell you explicitly, please send us this product. If you can get it for this price, I promise it will sell this many units at this price every single month. They would love to tell you that, but they can't. But they can really encourage you, right? They call it the nudge. It's actually an Amazon term, the nudge. So they will nudge you to be like, you've probably gotten the price change alerts. Hey, it'd be great if you priced at this level. They're telling you that because they know you're going to get the buy box and you're going to sell a bunch more units. They just can't tell you to do it, but they can kind of nudge you in the right direction. And they have inventory opportunity and like ASIN opportunity reports, all these things. You can go in and they'll tell you, be like, Oh, I should sell that. Amazon's telling me that there's not a lot of lacrosse products represented in FBA Europe. Yeah, okay, I should sell more of those, right? They tell you that stuff. They just can't tell you explicitly, but they can put in behaviors to encourage you to do what they want, including, like, if you don't, you guys, try this as a private label seller. Upload a listing and don't put a product image and then try to search for it. You ain't gonna see it. It's not gonna show a customer something without a product image. Right? It still exists. If you can drive traffic to the listing and someone magically buys it, great. But they are not going to show it in search. And that's to encourage you to make good product pages with good listings and good, you know, images and titles and all these things. They want the back-end keywords. Now with merch, again, we're in this, like, you know, early phase. There's no back-end keywords. You know, there's no sponsored products, you know, as you're expecting in Seller Central. So you do have limited options. But, you know, Amazon wants that sponsored product money. They'll take it from us. It's just not there yet. So, you know, when that comes, I don't know. Maybe I would guess within the year. I would be surprised if within the year we don't have access to a more dedicated sponsored products type service for Merch by Amazon listings. We're just going to open the door. You imagine just cross-listing your products on relative stuff. You know, it's going to be crazy. So, you know, you do want to make good listings, which I'm sorry is subjective, but it's something you can definitely learn. You know, and again, go look at successful listings. Look at what they're using for brand names. Look what they're using for titles. Look at their descriptions and say, you know, you're not there to copy. You're there to emulate and be like, oh, I see how they put a lot of great keywords around camping into a paragraph. I want to do that too for my weightlifting shirts. You can learn from other people's success without copying.
Makes sense. And just tell me a little bit, tell me about the images then. Is it just one main image? Do we control all the images ourselves, or is that all up to Amazon?
It's currently all up to Amazon. So most, I don't have the numbers on like how many shirts compared to like our single-sided versus double-sided. So you can do double-sided. You can do just back. Most are going to be, I got to think 97 or 98 plus are just front image shirts. So you're going to have that. And then you're going to have two images, the main image, and then you're going to have kind of a sizing image where it kind of shows you the sizes on different people, men's and women's and youth. That's pretty standard. You can zoom in on the image if you want. So, you know, people can see real close, you know, what the image looks like. And that's it. You can pick from 18 different colors. You can pick up to 5 for your listings. Currently, you can't choose which one displays, although Amazon will display the most popular selling color. But until you have a popular color, it's not going to show anything, or it's just going to kind of be random. And it's something that people really want. Like, I want to show the black one on preview. I think it looks good. And they're showing the purple. There's nothing you can do about it other than just don't offer it on purple, right? Like, more isn't always more, right? Like, sometimes just having one color is all you need. You know, there is a strategy to that. And that's what Amazon used to let you have all, it was 15 colors before 18. And you could choose all 15 colors. And I still have some listings like that up. They look ridiculous. They have so many variations underneath it. I'm glad they got rid of it. So now they're down to 5. And they actually recommend only using 3, right? And that's probably something based on data that says, hey, you know, listings with only 3 color choices convert better. Because more choice leads to indecision when it comes to the customer. They're like, oh, man, that purple, though. But maybe that green. And then they get distracted and they don't buy it. Instead of like black, white, blue, that's it. And I'm like, okay, yeah, definitely not black or white. I want the blue. Done. You know, simpler Excellent. Can be better.
Well, yeah, and also that restricting that choice is probably better for everyone. It's better for us as sellers because obviously we don't, you know what we're doing at the beginning. So if we have too many choices, we get confused. We spend our life in Facebook groups going, oh, should I have 18 colors? Should I have 3? Well, my mate George sold 12 and it was great. Instead of which Amazon has crunched the data. They employ the best artificial intelligence scientists in the world and they have gone, sell 3. That's all you can do. And then you go, oh, great. Green, red, and orange. And if that doesn't work, I'll try swapping orange for brown next week. Right?
Yeah, you can try that. That reminds me of the most common. Actually, I did a whole presentation about this. It was the Jersey event where like I did so many of these presentations about merch, and people were asking so many questions. They're all different questions, but there was a common theme, and that common theme of all these questions were like, you don't need that answer to move forward. That was the problem, is people felt they couldn't move forward without this answer. Like, what color should I use if, you know, it's a light color text-based design? I'm like, I don't know. Like, you don't need that answer to move forward. And I see it. I mean, I don't know, like, the psychology term for this. There's got to be something where people are, I feel they're almost looking for an excuse to not move forward. They're like, oh, I can't move forward until I get this answer. And that gives them the excuse of why they're not moving forward instead of taking responsibility and actually moving forward. Right. So I don't know how we can help people get past that, but there's so many people that get stuck on questions that don't need answers.
That's it. Thank you so much for your attention. I really appreciate it. Now over to you. First, 80-20 everything. Learn the critical few. Maybe there's one thing in this podcast that can make all the difference. Find that thing. 20% of inputs, give 80% of the outputs. Which are the critical few for you? Then take action. Imperfect action beats perfect inaction every single time. Finally, and not least, review. If you've made mistakes, learn from them. If you've made a success, duplicate it. You can't do that unless you look back. So in summary, learn the critical few, then do, then review. And then, my friend, it's up to you. That's it. Thank you so much for your attention. Speak to you in the next episode.